This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Good morning, horse people. This is Coach Jen from Ocala, Florida, and you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for November 25th, 2014, episode 1049, brought to you today by High Visibility North America. You can find them at highvisibilitysportswear.com. Good morning, horse world!
So we want you to think safe, ride safe, be safe.
Wait a minute, 99. That gives me an idea.
You got a helmet? Oh, I've got a helmet. I got a beauty.
All right, let's roll. Hey, let's be careful out there.
Well, folks, Lindsay White, the tour de force behind each and every Safety Tuesday episode here on Hit'em, is taking a much-deserved time off for the holiday, so we have prepared for you a feast of previously aired audio dishes for your enjoyment. Boyd Martin keeps it real regarding safety and risk, Glenn exceeds expectations with a safety quiz, and Mary Miller Jordan talks about training for safety. So stay tuned for the fray, folks.
Yeah, we have today, with much fanfare, international event rider Boyd Martin. And as some of our listeners may know, Boyd is married to Silver Martin, who herself is very acclaimed in the horse world. She's the lead dressage rider and trainer. And Boyd recently had an accident while out riding. And also, Silver was involved in an accident. In a fall down in Florida. So basically, we're going to invite them both onto the show this morning, find out how they're doing, and they're going to tell us about what the prognosis is for the both of them and what they've been up to and what's going on.
Good morning, Boyd.
Hey, good morning. How are you, Glenn?
Good. How are you doing? It sounds like you're out riding. You're not riding, are you?
No, I've ridden one this morning, though. I'm slowly getting back into it.
Are
I
you?
Broke my leg a couple of weeks ago, and, yeah, it's been a bit frustrating, but slowly getting back into it, walking pretty good now, and hopefully be back to normal in a couple of weeks.
Terrific. Lindsay?
So you must be a bit gutted to be missing out on Rolex, Boyd.
Yeah, it's a real shame, actually, because I had basically four really, really good horses that could have been very, very competitive in Sir Donovan, Otis Barbotier, Chamoiri 4, and Trading Aces. And they were all sizzling, basically, in the preparation events. And, at Southern Pines, unfortunately, I was riding a young advanced horse of mine called Steady Eddie, and we had a glance off at a big corner, and I tried to keep him straight, and unfortunately my leg got pinned up against the corner, so managed to break my tibia in half. So it's had a surgery, and they plonked a rod down the middle of my leg and threw a couple of screws in, and it's one of those things.
You always make it sound like a piece of cake. They just put some screws in and put a few bolts here and there. I'll be back on a horse soon. You always make it sound so nice. And I posted a picture of your leg, I have to say, this morning, post-surgery, that I stole from your Facebook page, onto the Riders for Helmets this morning. And ouch is all I can say, because I look at that and it doesn't look like a piece of cake to me.
Yeah, unfortunately, I'm slowly but surely getting sick of surgeries. I've had a number of them last basically 18 months. I've had, well, 12 months actually. I broke my ankle this time last year and put a screw in that. Then I broke my arm later in the year and they put a plate in that. And now I've done my leg in. So it's a real bugger, you know.
Bud, how do you get through TSA security at the airport? They must have a field day with you.
Yeah, well, it's funny, actually. You know, the when you get the wand put on you, then all the buzzers go off. But when you actually go through that, you know, the security thing where stand it and put your hands above your head, nothing gets set off on that. I think that basically is, if anything, outside your body. So all my pins, plates, and screws are inside my body.
So. You're going to be like the bionic man soon, aren't you?
I hope not. To be quite honest, I'm quite sick of being injured. Our lifestyle is very, very active and always doing something, and when you're laid up like this, especially with the leg, you know, like with an arm or a collarbone, you can sort of get back a little bit sooner. And unfortunately, with a leg, it's a real, you know, slowdown sort of thing.
So I have to ask you this question because I've had several messages come through on Facebook today. It's quite graphic, but everybody wants to know, was the bone actually sticking out of your leg?
Well, there was a big hole in my leg and you could see the bone. So they called it a compound fracture, but it was actually more the cross-country jump sort of dug into my leg and cut the flesh away down to the bone, I had pretty good strong leather boots on, which it sort of made its way through that. So it was pretty disappointing, you could say. Yeah.
So how long is it before we're going to see you back in the saddle? What's the prognosis?
I've had to change all my plans around a little bit. So unfortunately, we sold Sir Donovan just because we had a good offer for the horse, and we were planning to sell him after Rolex. And then Trading Aces is in fantastic form, so and really, really fit. So Philip's going to ride him at Rolex, and then my other two big-time horses in Otis and Shamwari, I'm going to try and ride them at Jersey Fresh in the CIC 3-star and then push them on to Lamullan 4-star, which I think if they go well there and come out of it all right, I'd be in contention, you know, for the American team for the WEG.
We hope so. We're rooting for you to be back and back and on that team. We want to see you ride for the team again.
Thank you.
So what about Silver? Because your wife Silver, who we were explaining that, you know, is a leading dressage rider and trainer as well. She recently had an accident herself as well, didn't she, in Florida? But I'm not familiar with the details of what really happened.
Well, it's one of those things that was She was basically teaching a lesson on one of her client's horses, and she was riding the horse, and it was a very, very quiet horse, and she was doing a little bit of piaf, and for one step, the horse stepped outside the ring, and it was, you know, those rings where the plastic sort of boards you see at competitions, and anyway, as it brought its hind leg back into the ring, it popped the board up. And then, unfortunately, the horse got tangled up in the board, and the horse sort of rolled over, and she thumped her head, and had a seizure, and it was a real worry because she got airlifted to the trauma unit, was in intensive care for a while, but she's coming good now. It's going to take a while to get her back in business, but. It was a real scare for a while, you know.
Right, and she was wearing a helmet as well, wasn't she? Because
she was vocal about wearing
a helmet.
Yeah, I mean she's always worn a helmet. You know, she didn't always actually. She is a big fan of Courtney King, and after Courtney King's accident, there wasn't a day past that day that she didn't wear a helmet, and. And we're very, very thankful that she was wearing a helmet because I spoke to the neurosurgeons at the ICU there, and he said if she wasn't wearing a helmet, she'd be pretty much finished up. We're very, 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 very lucky that she does wear a helmet, and it was a bit of a scare.
And how is she doing now, Boyd? How is she?
She's getting better. She goes to therapy. Well, she was going every day for 7 hours. Now she's down to 3 days a week for 5 hours. And so, you know, three big things were her balance was, you know, no good, and her speech was all delayed, and her vision is all blurry. Now her speech and her balance is way, way better, but her vision's still struggling a little bit. So that's sort of the biggest challenge at the moment, is to get her vision back to normal. I mean, I'm pretty confident she'll be back to 100%, but it's
right.
Well, let's just say I'd rather have a broken leg than a head injury. It just seems like it's a longer road to get back, you know.
Absolutely, and we were all thinking of her and praying for her every day because we want her here back, you know, in the saddle and 100% back as well. So, you know, in kind of wrapping up, I mean, you guys are both brilliant advocates of safety, but I think both of your accidents, although very different, you know, they do really stress the need for whether it's helmets or body protectors, air vests, whatever. It's so important, isn't it, all the safety gear? And can you just kind of give us your final thoughts from kind of both of you on the safety gear side?
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. And it's funny, you know, like I personally would fall off maybe 3 or 4 times a month, you know, and I've been doing that for the last 15 years, you know, and Silver, since I've known her, the last 10 years has only had 3 falls, and this was her 3rd fall, and it was terrible. So it's sort of, you know, I think if you're riding horses, you've got to accept the fact that there's an element of danger in there, and you're going to fall off. You know, it's part of it, and when you do fall off, you've got to be protected, because it can happen when you least expect it. You know, like with Silver, it was the quietest horse, you know, and it was a basically a lesson horse, and, you know, the horse wasn't nasty, or she wasn't having an argument with her. It was just, you know, it was just one of those things.
Right, and they do. I mean, accidents happen every day, and, you know, just like with Courtney's accident, you know, her horse was walking and tripped, you know. I mean, it does happen, and certainly we don't, you know, we're not trying to say that there's no element of risk there, but we're just so very pleased that Silver was wearing a helmet, because, like you say, I think, you know, the situation would have been far worse. And thank you so much for coming on the show today to kind of give us an update on both of you, and we hope your leg heals soon, and we certainly hope that Silver is back with a full recovery as well, and we're thinking of her and praying for her, and she's got the support of everybody with Riders for Helmets as well.
Yeah, fantastic, guys. Well, thanks for having me on, and have a good day.
It's interesting. Well, before we get to our next guest today, we got to tell you about High Visibility North America. They are the ones who provide this show for us today, and we appreciate their support. High Visibility North America offers the perfect solution to keep riders, their horses, and even their dogs safe this fall. Whether you will be out riding on the trail, in the woods, during hunting season, which is coming up 1 month from now, starts hunting season in the Northeast, or on the roads, make sure you or your horse stay safe and can be seen by wearing high visibility clothing. I would say if you ride anywhere in the Northeast during hunting season, or even on your own farm, we used to wear protective clothing. We didn't have high visibility back then. We had the old ugly stuff, not the cool stuff from High Visibility. And we used to wear the other kind that the construction workers wore, because there were hunters all around our farm. And, you know, and I didn't trust some of them. So it was like, okay, you know, we're going to do everything we can to make sure we don't get shot. The entire range is not only functional in that it will keep you visible at dawn or dusk, but also is also a fashionable, and includes everything from winter jackets to lightweight vests suitable for year round. Available in eye-catching orange, yellow, or pink, wearing the range will ensure that hunters could tell the difference between you and a deer this fall. Jennifer posted a picture on our Horses in the Morning page yesterday of one of our listeners came over to ride with her, and she was wearing her high-visibility vest out to ride around the neighborhood. Visit highvisibilitysportswear.com to check out their special offer, and they'll be giving you up to 5% off the selective items in the range, and these make great holiday gifts. You realize, a week from Friday, we're going to be doing our holiday gift buying episode. That's how close we are, people. So these would make great holiday gifts, and especially if you get them at a discount of up to 50% off. So check out, keep an eye on the page, highvisibilitysportswear.com, or on our Facebook page over at Horses in the Morning.
So. Awesome.
Well, you have a test for us today. I have not, this is a disclaimer, I have not seen this test. So, this is new
for me. The questions aren't too hard. I think you'll be okay. How many do you think you'll get? There's 10 questions. How many do you
What's it about?
It's about safety. It's a safety quiz. All aspects of safety. And to be fair, I will say Glenn has not had prior disclosure of the questions. Neither has Jennifer, because I know she'd share them with him. So, out of 10, what do you think you'll get?
Oh, it's on, is it horse safety? Check it.
It's horse safety, and I give credit to the folks at Horse Channel for this quiz, because that's where this quiz came from. But
I'm going to get 5 out of 10.
You're going to get 5. Jennifer, how many do you think he'll get?
He's going to get 3.
Come on, you gotta give me more credit than that.
She
has so much confidence in me, my wife.
I'm going to say I think you're going to get 7.
Look, Lindsay has more confidence in me than you do.
Well, she knows what the questions are.
That's right. Oh, fabulous.
All right, I'm ready.
Have you got a drum roll? Do we have any drum roll?
No, but we have this.
Okay, no, we need this one.
Which one? Oh, there you go.
There you go.
Jennifer, if you get one wrong, please play an appropriate sound for us.
I will.
Okay, are you ready?
I'm ready.
Question number 1. And it's multiple choice, so you'll have to let me read.
Oh, good.
Phew. Good. The appropriate answers. That's why I think you'll get 7, otherwise I would have said 3, too.
Thanks for the confidence there, guys.
All right, question number 1. Brace yourself. What is the main difference between a hunt cap and a helmet? Is it that hunt caps don't have harnesses that go under the chin? Hunt caps are typically velvet covered without ventilation. Helmets are tested by independent organizations to ensure they provide protection. Or helmets are used for eventing and endurance. Hunt caps are used for hunters and jumpers.
All of the above.
Wrong! Jennifer, where's the noise?
What do you mean wrong? We need a wrong noise? Okay, wrong noise.
What do you mean wrong?
It's incorrect. Well, we were looking for one answer, okay? And the answer is helmets are tested by independent organizations to ensure they provide protection.
Well, that's true, but the first one was that hunt caps don't have straps, and traditionally they did not have straps. They were just a cap and no straps.
Okay, then I'm still going to say you got it wrong, but to help you a little bit with the further questions, there's only one correct answer out of the 4 I give you. That's the most correct of all the answers, okay, most relevant.
Okay, but I'm starting to doubt the validity of your quiz. Let's go.
Hey, this is from Horse Channel. You can blame them, not me. All right, number 2. What does SEI stand for in the context of riding gear? Is it Society for Equipment Integrity, Safety Equipment Institute, Safety for Equestrian Initiatives, or Safety Examination Initiative?
Oh, boy. I think I've heard this one maybe once in the past. I'm going to go with B, the Safety Institute one.
That's correct. Safety Equipment.
Yay!
Yay!
I get one right. That was a total guess. I just... It was a total guess. I don't think I'd like to say I knew that.
For those of you listening, we want to know how many you got as well, and no cheating. Okay, number three.
I'm one for one.
One for one. Which of the following places is not a good place to store your helmet? Is it inside your house, the trunk of your car, a heated air-conditioned tack room, or all of the above?
The trunk of your car.
Yay!
I need that one, too, because I know heat is not good for helmets. Heat's not good for helmets. Helmets do not like heat because they break down and biodegrade.
That's correct. Well, two for one, Glenn. Two for one.
Okay, good.
Ooh, pressure. You're going to get...
I'm almost at what Jennifer said I would get, and I got a lot more to go.
That's what I was just going to say. You know, you're doing pretty good. You even get one more right, and you've already equaled that.
I've exceeded my wife's expectations.
that's something unusual right there, yeah.
Do I get a prize then?
I will think of something.
Okay.
Which of the following places... Oh, no, I've already said that one, sorry. Which of the following can cause your helmet to deteriorate? Is it sub-freezing temperatures, heat, fly spray, or all of the above?
Ooh, that's a trick question. I'm going to guess all of the above.
You would guess correct.
Yay! The fly spray? What? Is there something with fly spray?
It must be something to do with the chemicals in fly spray, I would imagine.
You know, I fly, like, when we go outside in the summer here, especially in Florida, I fly spray my baseball hats all the time, put them on my head. So, I don't know.
Is that why they all have holes in them?
That's it. And they glow in the dark, too.
If you tested them with, like, a radioactive meter, because the amount of fly spray you use down there, you probably, like,
there are some times of the year we have flies already. I mean, the flies are bad already. I noticed the horses were swatting all day yesterday. So, yeah, I know.
Listen,
I know. Everybody in the Northeast would love to have flies.
Yeah, that's just what I was going to say. It's 30 degrees here. Shut it about the flies.
Do you still snow on the ground in Lexington, or is the snow gone?
No, we don't have any snow. It's just cold.
Okay.
All right,
I am
four.
3-1. I have met Jennifer's expectations.
Yes. Okay. Can you meet number 7, though? What I said you would get right. Okay. Number 4. What should you use to clean your protective vest? Is it mild household soap and water, hot water without soap, a 1-to-1 ratio of bleach and water, or specifically designed vest cleaner from the tack store?
You supposed to clean those?
Oh, dear. I'm not liking your chances of getting this one right.
I'm going to go with the tack store cleaning gunk.
That would be incorrect. It's actually mild household soap and water.
Who knew? Like ivory the dish soap or something like that?
Well, all I know is I don't think I've ever been in a tack store, and I'm not being sarcastic here, and seen a bottle of soapy liquid that says, use this to clean your protective vest. Just saying, Glenn. Just saying.
Maybe we could come up with a new marketing thing. Maybe that's
a
new marketing thing.
Yeah, I like that.
All we have to do is put a little ivory in each bottle, fill it the rest with water, and sell them for $25, and horse people will buy it.
Horses in the morning, body protective cleaner. You can see it now.
Yeah, that'd be great.
I think you should actually call it scooter cleaner, and then you'd sell loads.
Scooter cleaner. Yes, enough. Just have a picture of them in the water. It'll sell like crazy.
Right. All right. Next question. What might cause an approved helmet to no longer provide full protection? Is it, it has been involved in a fall or impact, it has been worn in the sun frequently, it has been worn during rain and snow frequently, or all of the above?
You cut out a little bit on the question. What was the
okay, the question, what might cause an approved helmet to no longer provide full protection? Is it, number one, it has been involved in a fall or impact? Number two, it has been worn in the sun frequently? Number three, it has been worn during rain and snow frequently? Or all of the above?
All of the above.
Incorrect.
What?
That's right. The correct answer.
Your test is crap.
I said to you, in fairness, I was trying to help you, that there was only one correct answer in each, which all of the above is a correct answer, but I was trying to let you hint that that wasn't the one that's very often picked. That didn't make any sense. The correct answer was, I think it, oh, whatever, it's early in the morning. It has been involved in a fall or impact was the correct answer.
Yeah, yeah. Huh. Well, the heat, I guess it depends what they're clarifying as
intensity.
There's a
difference between wearing it in the sunshine and keeping it in your car, I think, Glenn. There's a subtlety that you missed on. Yeah. See, the problem here is I recognize how Glenn is not tuned into the subtleties of whatever. Of anything, and yeah, that's why he missed that one. Subtlety, yeah.
Hey, listen, this quiz is so bad. It even got me saying that you can only have one answer, and all of the above. I didn't think was one answer. I'm sorry. Now I'm placing the quiz too.
All right. Well, I still only got two wrong so far.
All right. So, if a helmet feels okay front to back, but is loose on the sides, what should you do? Is it add more padding on the sides, try on another helmet, change the way you wear your hair, or purchase a helmet? That is how they should fit.
Get a haircut. It's actually, you find a helmet that fits. Would it be?
Correct. I would have been quite scared if you'd have said purchase a helmet. That's how they fit. That would have worried me.
No. I used to be the helmet trier honor at our tack shop when we had it. So I was the one to help people try on their helmets. So I am pretty good at helmet fit.
Good job. That's four. Woohoo. Is that four you've got right now? Who's keeping
five.
Count? Are you keeping count, Jennifer?
I think five. I think I've gotten five. I only got two wrong.
Okay. Right. That's fine. Wow.
I'm doing good.
Okay. Which of the following statements is true about air vests? They are required for the cross-country phase of eventing. They must be certified by the ASTM. They can be used in addition to, but not instead of, traditional body protectors for cross-country. They are prohibited for show jumping competition until further testing has been completed.
What was C again?
They can be used in addition to, but not instead of, traditional body protectors for cross-country.
C.
Yay! Woohoo! You're on a roll here, Glenn.
I know. That's good.
Two more questions to go, and he's on C.
All right.
Pressure's on.
I got six.
A safety vest should fit... Wait, yeah, how did I get six when there's 10 questions? No, you got two wrong. Six and two. Do math, Glenn. That's correct.
Yeah.
There's two questions left.
Yep.
Okay, I thought you were questioning my mathematical capabilities. This one got me so confused. Okay. A safety vest should fit snugly to protect what? The rider's neck, lower abdomen, ribcage, chest and spine, or the heart?
Ribcage, chest and spine.
That's another one in the bag for you.
Yay, I hit seven. See, I hit what Lindsay said. I hit seven. So I could exceed everybody's expectations if I get the next one right.
You could. Ooh, brace yourself. Final question.
I should play the celebrity trivia challenge. I could win.
I know.
On Wednesday. Yeah. Okay, go ahead.
How can you tell if a helmet has been involved in a crash? There will be visible cracks or dents. There will be a soft spot when you press on it. There will be discoloration at the site of impact. Or there is no definitive way to know if a helmet has been involved in an accident.
Well, there is a definitive way. They can x-ray it. So...
Okay, I'm going to help you here. If you didn't have access to an x-ray machine, just saying...
Well, if it's cracked, no, it's been in an accident. I'm going to go with A.
I don't think you'd have said that, Glenn. I'm trying to help you out here.
What was A again?
There will be visible cracks or dents.
Well, yeah, that's pretty obvious it's been involved in something, right?
Just remember, it's a bad quiz. I'm trying to help you here. There will be a soft spot. There will be a soft spot when you press on it. There will be discoloration at the site of impact, or there is no definitive way to know if a helmet has been involved in an accident, because after all, there could be damage you might not see.
Oh, okay. Well, I'll go with that one, but if it's cracked, it's pretty obvious it's been involved in an accident. I'm just saying.
I'm just saying that the quiz is rubbish, but we're going to give you that one anyway. With a little bit of prompting, we think you got the correct answer, which was D.
Who made this up? Okay, this is almost, these questions are almost as bad as some of the ones Jennifer comes up with on Wednesday morning.
I don't know who, I don't know who came up with those quiz questions, whatever.
And I'm just picking on you, dear. I'm just picking on you.
It wasn't my quiz questions. I told you they were from the folks at Horse Channel.
My teachers tried to warn me, stay away from that powerful stuff. My dad said, son, if you get started, you won't ever be able to stop. Look at me now, I'm doing fine, I'm happy to admit. I don't believe that hype, you know I got a good life, but they say that I'm addicted. Addicted to driving down the road, riding Bronx and having fun. Addicted, well I'm really not, I could quit it anytime I want. Even if I was hooked on rodeo, at least I'm not addicted to liquor or drugs. Well, I could blow all my money and break all my bones, but I would never hurt anyone. I've always been the kind to be in control. I tell you that in my defense, 'cause the kind of Bronx I've been drawn lately's got me questioning my common sense. Addiction's a form of weakness, know that to be true. You're gonna pay for a habit, I pray I don't have it, just between me and you. Addicted to driving down the road, riding Bronx and having fun. Addicted, well I'm really not, I could quit it anytime I want. Even if I was hooked on rodeo, at least I'm not addicted to liquor or drugs. It's broken bones and bruises and self-induced abuses that'll never hurt anyone. I've been thinking of slowing down to spend some more time at home. You don't have to be alone. I ran into M. Richie the other day, I asked him if he guessed the itch. I said, it's 20 years since you've been on a bull, I guess you finally got it licked. Then his eyes went wild and he started to shake. He said, it hits him every spring. I said, thanks Eb, you're not helping me any. Now I got a Hakadam ring. Addicted to driving down the road, riding Bronx and having fun. Addicted, well I really thought that I could quit it anytime I
all my money, and that ain't fun, cause I just can't give it up.
Ready?
Oh, what a beautiful morning. Oh, what a beautiful day. I've got a beautiful feeling. Horses are coming my way. You're listening to Horses in the Morning.
Well, now, you know, Jennifer is setting up our guest, Mary Miller Jordan. And while she's doing that, why don't you tell us a little bit about Mary?
Well, Mary is a dear friend of mine who I met several years ago, and she's worked on many aspects of safety promotion and education with me, so I'm really pleased she's joining us on the show today. But Mary Miller Jordan resides at High Cotton Horse Farm in Carolina with her husband Mike and daughter Philly Kay. I can never pronounce it correctly, she'll kill me. Over her 32 years, she has trained in many different disciplines, from barrel racing to western pleasure, from hunter jumpers to dressage, and from walking horses to mustangs. Mary's goal has always been to listen to the horse first and to try to help that horse reach his or her full potential in whatever discipline it may lead to. And for Mary, the reward is truly in the relationship. In 2010, Mary became involved in the Extreme Mustang Makeovers and has made the finals in every Mustang she's ever shown, which is a pretty big deal, by the way. She was reserve champion at the 2012 Supreme Extreme Mustang Makeover with a totally tackless, bridleless, and bareback performance, and that is amazing, and you have to watch the video. Mary and her first Mustang, Lindsay's Face, won the title of America's Favorite Trail Horse in 2011, which was a televised competition similar to American Idol, but for horse and rider teams. And Mary currently travels to teach clinics and perform tackless and liberty demonstrations with her unique team of Mustangs.
Good morning, Mary.
Well, good morning to you.
Good morning.
Good morning, Miss Lindsay. It's so nice to hear your voice.
You too. Thank you for joining us today. And I always get your daughter's name wrong. How do you pronounce your daughter's name?
Philly Kay.
Okay, I did say it right then. I thought I got it wrong. I wasn't
you
sure
got
of the
it.
Pronunciation. Yay. So we in our time working on several aspects of safety together, obviously you're renowned for being an ambassador for helmet wearing in Western disciplines. And, you know, the cowboy hat and fairness has always been the norm and the tradition. But really, wearing a helmet is only part of the equation, really, isn't it, when it comes to safety around horses. So I know you have just some amazing safety tips, and I wondered if you could possibly share a few with regards to training to the listeners today, not necessarily from a helmet perspective, but, you know, from general safety.
Oh, definitely. I mean, I think the helmet is just one piece of the puzzle in just overall safety. And I think the main thing is taking the time to develop a relationship and read your horse. You know, I mean, they're not four-wheelers. they're just like us. They have emotions. They have good days and bad days. And I think that if we really, you know, take the time to actually know what our horse's normal is, how does our horse act on a good day? How does our horse act when maybe they're having an off day? And then, you know, be able to adjust ourselves to, you know, fit the needs of the horse rather than just, okay, well, it's, you know, 9 o'clock, time for me to have my lesson, and I'm going to tack up and here we go. I think that's the biggest thing.
Absolutely. That's just a great, great tip there. But are you aware as well, and I mean, obviously, again, not necessarily from like a helmet or that perspective, but has anyone, you know, that you've been aware of, have you had an accident around horses yourself, or any trainers that you're aware of kind of had an accident and experience that you'd like to share with regard to a safety aspect?
Yeah, you know, accidents certainly aren't something that, you know, it's not a thing that you want to have to talk about, but it happens. It happens. And there's a young girl that I've been working with for almost a year now, and not long before we started working together, she had gotten a horse that was green. She didn't really know anything about the horse, and she wasn't really an experienced rider herself, just loved horses. And she was just so anxious to ride. I mean, just wanted to get up there and, you know, gallop off into the sunset, I guess. And so she had not had this horse long at all, and she just goes ahead and tacks up and just hops on and you know, with the intent, I guess, of just everything going fine. And the horse, it was not doing anything trying to be hurtful, but he wasn't ready. And it was cold, it was windy, and she just hops on, and he tossed her off. And, you know, she had a bad fall and actually got a concussion and was laid up for quite some time. And, you know, we certainly know how serious that kind of thing is. And now she's really had to go back to square one and do things from the ground, really, to build up, you know, a relationship with her horse so that she and her horse can understand each other. And it's crazy now how, I mean, it's like they're mentally connected now. I mean, they read each other's thoughts. I mean, through doing the things she's been doing on the ground to actually understand her horse has just made the biggest difference. So it happens, but you can work through it, you know, but if you take those baby steps in the beginning, you can definitely save yourself, you know, the risk of more injury, you know, in the end.
So it's really about having that connection with your horses. I mean, you have an absolutely amazing, like, I've never seen connection with your Mustangs, but I guess it really is having the trust relationship between, you know, the horse and rider. And at the end of the day, we all know they're big animals and the flight or, you know, fight response. And, they are, you know, there's always going to be situations which you can't control. But I guess it just lessens that, the better relationship you actually do have with your horse, doesn't it?
Oh, I totally agree. Yeah, because, I mean, they're things are going to happen. I mean, they're going to stumble and fall. I mean, even if we're totally connected and, you know, but still, if you know, if you just know your horse and you spent the time really building up that relationship, I just feel like you're so much more prepared to help your horse when your horse needs to be helped. And that's the kind of thing that's going to keep you safe because, I mean, they need us to be the leader. We can't count on them to fill in all the holes and gaps of communication when we're not, you know, doing our part. That's our job as you know, to be the leader in the relationship with them.
Yeah, absolutely. Couldn't agree more with that statement. Over the last 12 months, unfortunately, it's always like heartbreaking when you read this, because like you say, anyone's had an accident, but there have been in the news some pretty high-profile reports of, and a large number, unfortunately, of children having accidents around horses, you know, over the past year. And what kind of advice could you really give from a safety perspective for parents who want their children to ride? Because obviously you can be kitted out in all the right gear and everything else, but, you know, perhaps the best place to find approved trainers or best locations and facilities to start out at, that kind of thing. Just general tips that you would give a parent who's, you know, wanting the child to ride.
Oh, yeah, and this is close to heart because I now have, you know, a daughter myself, and she loves to ride. I was never planning on pushing her one way or the other, but she just loves it. So, you know, it's a hobby that we're kind of set up for, so that works. And I wouldn't be speaking about any particular situation, but just in general, I think the thing is to really invest the time and money it takes to find a horse that is really, really, really suitable. And if you're not purchasing a horse, you know, to find a lesson barn that really does a good job, and just recognizing that, you know, no matter how awesome the horse is, no matter how well trained that horse is, especially if it's a situation where you've purchased a horse for your child and then y'all are going to be on your own, I think the horse, no matter how much training they've had, they're going to rise or fall to the experience level of whoever's sitting on their back. And I think a lot of times people may think, well, I've gone out, I've spent the money on a nice horse, well, now this horse should take care of my kid. And that actually, I mean, it does happen sometimes, God knows how, but it's really not the horse's job. It's really the person's job to guide the horse. And so if you're the parent and you bought this horse, I think it's really important to, you know, go take the kid somewhere to take lessons where they can be at a barn that will really help them learn how to be a horseman. on, not just how to ride the tight and just be a rider, but actually be a horseman, learn how to really communicate with the horse and talk to the horse the way the horse, you know, understands. And I think it goes back to that same thing we said about the relationship. The more the child can understand how to effectively communicate with the horse and have a true relationship with the horse and not just go out there and just learn how, what diagonal to be on or to keep their heels down or whatever, you know, I think that's what ends up keeping them safe. I think equitation is great, proper riding, I mean, all of that is great, but I mean, it's only going to get you so far if you don't, you know how to read the mind of what's going on underneath you with this 1,000-pound animal.
Absolutely, absolutely. I think that's so important, isn't it? Because I think the problem is as well, and I hate to kind of stereotype here, but even when I grew up in England, you know, there were some families that were quite well-to-do, and, you know, that they think they can go out and just buy a, you know, expensive show pony or whatever, and, you know, just they and get all the kids the safety gear, but it doesn't really, you know, stop there. It's about finding the right place to have lessons and finding a trainer with a good reputation like yourself or, you know, people, an approved riding school, that kind of thing. There's so many elements to it, and people just think that, you know, you can put this child on a pony and it's going to be perfectly safe. Well, you know, that's just not the case, and I think, you know, that is something that we can't stress enough, I believe.
Yeah, definitely, definitely.
Yeah.
Hey, so Mary, I have a question for you. Oh, go ahead.
Sorry, Glenn. Go on. No, go
well,
on.
I was just going to ask you, Mary. We had a tack business way back in the 1990s, and I know that you wear a, getting back to helmets a little bit, you do wear a helmet cowboy hat combo, and we used to sell those years ago, and then they went out because all the Western riders were saying they were too big, and they, you know.
Well, they would probably say that about mine.
Well, you know what though, yours is big. But it has sort of become a thing for you. Even your logo has the big. It has become a brand with you now, which is kind of cool.
How ironic.
To take it, do that. Are they back on the market again? Because they had taken them off the market for a while.
They, you know, the one that I did is quite different, just the way that I did it, from the one that that you're talking about. And the one that I made is not on the market yet. I am doing my best to work with somebody to make that happen. Unfortunately, it's not something that happened nearly as quickly as I'd hoped. There's just a lot of certification stuff that has to be done, you know, and safety requirements, So that has been a little bit of a hold up, but I am doing my best to make it happen, and I have people, it seems like just about every day, reach out to me, you know, asking me about it. So I know the demand is there, and it's definitely a big hat, but I mean, I love it. I mean, I don't have to wear sunglasses. I don't have to put on sunscreen when I guess that's this is the point of why they make a Western hat to begin with. So that brim has more function than just for the looks, and I've really fallen in love with mine, but I'm definitely working on that. It's just not something that that's happened as quick as I would like.
Well, you know, yours isn't as cartoonish as the ones, and you know the ones I was talking about. Yours isn't as cartoonish as those were. Those were truly cartoonish. I mean, they really were. They were huge, and they overemphasized the curl, and it's just, there's a reason that they failed when they did. But I'm glad to see that you're working on something, because you really have made it kind of a thing. And that's what it's going to take. That's what it's going to take in the Western world, is for people to see people like you out there, for kids to see, you know, you're not going to change the 50-year-old guy's mind who's out there, cowboy's mind. You're not going to change his mind. But you might change the mind of the 17-year-old because they look up to you.
Well, I mean, and just to make, you know, just to show them that they don't need to feel self-conscious. I mean, I think that was it for me. Once I had my daughter and I knew I wanted her to wear one, I figured, well, shoot, I mean, here I am riding all these Western disciplines. Nobody else is doing it. I don't want to be telling her to do something that I'm not doing. And that was my reason for doing it. And I didn't like doing it at first. I kind of felt uncomfortable it was amazing how quickly it went the other way around, where now I feel naked if I don't have it on. So it really is an adjustment, but once you kind of get into the groove of it, it really becomes part of who you are, and you're totally right. The more people that will wear it that are doing things out there in the world where people are seeing them, people will start doing it as well.
Yeah, the Tammy, who you know, I think Tammy Taranto, the Western Radio Show, she, you know, she wears her helmet now because of her accident, but she's had more and more people here recently that have started to wear helmets and have said, you know, you've kind of, you know, she felt like a fool. She'll say, I felt like a fool getting back into competition and mounted shooting, wearing a helmet, because it's definitely not traditional there.
And no.
She said, I felt like a fool, but she said, you know, when I went in and started winning competitions again, all of a sudden people stopped laughing. You know, and it's funny.
Oh, yeah.
It's going to take that, though. It's going to take
that. Yeah, and it's not going to happen overnight. I mean, you're right. It's a generational thing. And I've run into some people that have been offended, even like, because I never try to make anyone feel like they're not being a good parent, you know, by not having their kid wear a helmet. If they're, you know, if this may be some Western person that has really, really well-trained horses and really, you know, is guiding their child to be a really, really good horseman. And, you know, that's like we were talking about earlier. That is really important. That's going to keep you safe. So I would never try to make anyone feel like they're, you know, not being safety conscious for their child. But I've had people think that I was, just because I wear a helmet, just assume things like that. So you're going to get that kind of response from some people. It's a sensitive topic for people. But I just figure I'm not telling anybody they have to do it. I'm just making the decision to do it myself. And, you know, if they would like to do it, it maybe hopefully they'll feel like they can. And not feel like, you know, someone is being critical of them if they see more other people doing it, like Tammy and stuff.
Right, right.
Yeah.
Lindsay.
So final question, Mary.
Yes, ma'am.
If you could pick the number one safety advice that you would give to someone about horses, what would it be?
Oh, taking the time that it's going to take to really build a true relationship and connection with your horse. Know your horse. Don't treat your horse like a four-wheeler. Know that this is an individual, living, breathing, heart-beating, you know, four-legged creature, just like we're two-legged creatures. And, you know, treat them with the same amount of respect that you treat yourself, or more, preferably, and just really, really take that time to read, and then use that information when you go out to ride. You know, read your horse and then act accordingly.
That's where I was going wrong all this time, Lindsay. I kept trying to change my pony's oil, and I just wasn't getting anywhere. Now I know.
You're too funny. And I want to thank you so much for being a guest on the show today, Mary, because it's been such an honor to become friends with you and get to know you over the past few years. And you just are somebody that just kind of lights up a room when you walk in it. And it just really is such an honor to have you as a friend. And I'm just so proud of all that you've achieved in the past few years, because you go out there and you just rock them, girl. So you keep doing that.
Well, you are so sweet to say that. I'm telling you, I'm loving this kind of talking, though. I get to sit here with my little purple PJs on. We need to do this more often.
You should see what I'm wearing. I've got like 10 layers of thermals because it's Arctic here today. So I want to tell everybody that to learn more about Mary, you can visit her website at marymillerjordan.com. And I hope I'm going to get your Facebook page right, your new Facebook page. It's facebook.com/MaryMillerJordanMMJ. Is that right?
That's me. Yes, ma'am.
So everybody needs to go follow your page and visit your website and learn some more about the awesome things that you do. And do you have your video on there on your website?
There's quite a few videos. We've got a Meet the Mustangs page, and all the Mustangs have, you know, kind of their story told and different videos from each one and whatnot. So, there's lots of videos embedded throughout the website.
So go check it out, everybody. And thank you so much for being on the show today, Mary. I really appreciate it.
Thank you.